everyone, it's Roberta.
And this is Ryan, and this is the Midweek News.
On our blog radio. So you got really busy over the weekend.
I did.
Yeah. Busy good? Good busy?
Yeah, mostly. You know, there's a little bit of that downtime, too, of just like circling, like you're circling the airport, waiting to land kind of feeling as well. So.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah. On Saturday, I went to Fabric Workshop and Museum, and I went to see the John Jarbo Rose record release party.
Oh, good. How was it?
It was excellent. It was a lot of fun. They had a beautiful vinyl record that they were releasing. And it was a really fun, warm, welcoming time. I loved it.
That's great.
It turned out to be like a sing-along event, and my kids were super thrilled about that.
They like to sing. Are they singers?
Not really, but which is kind of tongue-in-cheek. But yeah, but I had a great time.
I see.
I love going to things that they get slightly embarrassed.
Oh my God, you're too sardonic for me. I totally took that literally.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. It was actually pretty touching and moving experience. And if you haven't seen the show, obviously there's a review on our blog about that.
Yes, a very nice review.
It really is nice. And there's, it shows worth seeing. It ends at the end of the month. If you haven't seen it, go see it. In and of itself, the exhibited show is great. It's basically walking through a trans experience through someone identifying through their in utero twin, Rose. So that's really the premise of the show. And this has been a few years work in progress. You can read the review. The show is still going. But it was basically a musical event for the band. And it was really great. I really enjoyed it.
Was the band the Bearded Ladies Cabaret Band? Because that's
correct.
Who.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
It was really good.
Yeah. John's been doing that for, she, I guess, is their pronoun, has been doing the Bearded Ladies Cabaret for many years. They're really outstanding. Yeah.
Yeah. She has a great voice. And I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
My kids' soccer team went to a Gotham FC game in Newark, New Jersey. It's the New York women's soccer professional soccer team.
Oh,
so
nice.
We went up to Newark and saw a professional soccer game.
Hmm. Women's soccer.
Women's soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Which was excellent.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we went up as in a couple of school buses.
Oh,
I didn't have to drive, but it wasn't too bad.
Oh man.
Yeah.
School buses. Well, school buses are a thing. You can do it once. You can do it twice.
I think, you know, because we homeschool the kids, I think it was their first time on an actual school bus. I think is what they said. So.
Oh, well, good on them. Everybody should experience a school bus at least once in their life.
Then after that, I went to Kitchen Garden up in Germantown and saw Emily Birdie Bush perform.
You mean Open Kitchen Sculpture Garden?
No.
Pedro Ospina? No. Uh-uh. Okay.
No, this is like a farm in Northwest Valley in the Germantown neighborhood, up in my neighborhood. Folk music, if you're into that. Very nice. It was a almost chilly morning. I wore a long sleeve thinking that would be sufficient. And I'm like, oh, I almost need a jacket. So the
it's
weather be
nice.
A changing.
It's nice. I've been liking it the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Go weather.
So it was my weekend. How was your weekend?
Started out on Friday with a visit at Bridget Mayer Gallery with Rebecca Rutstein, who's the artist whose show is up right now. And if you don't know, Rebecca has done a lot of Navy oceanic exploration traveling, shall we say?
Yeah.
She said she's been on these big ocean exploring vessels 8 times, and she's been down to the bottom of the ocean floor 3 times in a submersible. And she
That's
showed
amazing.
Me... She showed me pictures. She said the last time they went down, they didn't know what they were going to run into, but they ran into, I mean, not literally colliding with, but they saw what's called a vent at the ocean floor where there are several plates coming together or separating. And all this molten, it looked like a volcano coming up and dispersing into the water. And it's like 400 degrees temperature. It's from, you know, the core of the earth. It's iron and, you know, the other metals that are coming up, and then they disperse, they go all the way to the top of the ocean, and then they make it around to the other end of the ocean and feed the microbes over, you know, in Singapore or somewhere. She was off the coast of Mexico. It sounded really psychedelic, actually, you know, to experience something like that firsthand. And then she was distilling it. She made 30 days worth of pictures for the 30 days she was on the boat. She only went down in the submersible, I think, once this time. I think that's what you do. You don't go down every day. At least she didn't, because she's on with scientists and they go down, but she gets to go down once, I think, maybe more than once. I don't know.
What an amazing experience.
Totally amazing. I think life-changing could be. Yeah. And she's really very passionate about doing this. The whole art and science combination completely feeds her. And she's made these beautiful large and small paintings, which are on display at Bridget Mayer, I think now through the end of the month. It just opened, so it must be continuing on into October. And I'll be doing, I didn't really record my conversation with her, but we had a wonderful, you know, sprawling conversation about art and science and going down in these submersibles and all that kind of stuff. But I'll be writing it up soon. She's definitely a notable artist in Philadelphia. So if you don't know about Rebecca, I would suggest you go see her show at Bridget Mayer Gallery. And Ryan, it wasn't over the weekend, but we should tell people that we did a studio visit on Thursday with Marta Sanchez. Marta Sanchez is a Chicana artist originally from San Antonio, Texas, has been in Philly. She has her MFA from Tyler, has been here for quite a while, has her family, her child, her husband, everybody's here. And she makes amazing retablo-like art, very passionate, very political. A lot of it during all of the talk about immigration and the border and whatnot. I mean, San Antonio is pretty much almost on the border. And so she's very passionate about what's going on down there, and also about what's going on in Philadelphia. So it was a good visit. And Marta has a show coming up at the Brandywine Workshop and Museum on South Broad Street. She's the program director there. And her show will be curated by Bill Valerio, the director of Woodmere Art Museum. So that is worth putting on your calendar. We'll put the dates in when it starts, put that in the transcript. So that was very exciting to go to her studio and see how she works, hear her stories. And we'll tell you more about that. We captured some video and audio. Apart from that, I babysat my 16-year-old grandbaby.
16-month.
I'm sorry, 16-month.
Yeah. A 16-year-old can handle themselves, I think.
Well, I don't know. That could be argued, but 16-month-old.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's more fun.
Yes. Oh, my God. So much fun. She's just at the point where you can tickle her and she laughs. So all those great baby belly laughs. Oh, my God. So great. And she's walking. So she's toddling around. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yes. It was lots of fun.
Yeah.
Up and down.
It's like grandparent yoga. Think of it that way. You're getting exercise.
Good way to put it.
Yeah, feeling tired at the end is appropriate. Like any good workout, you're like, I'm exhausted. So yeah, you have to shower after that. Shower after babysitting, absolutely.
Today I've got, again, four things to talk about in the news. Should I rattle off what they are?
All right, I'm ready.
Okay. So first, you may or may not remember that we had some involvement with the Mummers last year. The Mummers, as in January 1st, the Mummers Parade, you know, those Mummers, they are trying to recruit new members to their organization. One of them in particular is the Golden Sunrise. Those are, it's a very nice, fancy brigade, I think they are, I forget. Anyway, they are having a costume workshop. Now, I went to a previous costume workshop at their place, and it's fascinating. You get to work with sequins and glitter and glue, hot glue. You know, it's all this stuff that high art doesn't ever truck in. And so it's a different way of art making, a different type of art, and it goes into making costumes. And this year's theme for this particular tribe is Super Mario Brothers. And so now the new one they're adding to the costume is Princess Peach, which doesn't mean anything to me, but hey, you Super Mario Brothers players, you're going to know who that is. And you can sign up. There's an Eventbrite sign-up sheet for doing the costuming. All the materials are provided. They have little snacks and beverages for you to eat. It takes a couple hours. It's fun. It's fun. If you haven't done anything with the Mummers and you're Mummer curious, I would suggest this is a good way to get introduced to the Mummers.
Mummer curious. I love that. All right. I'm adding that to my list of things.
Then I want to say two readers wrote in, people writing in. First off, I want to mention David Richman, who wrote commenting on a previous newsletter, I believe it was, where I talked about Jenny Holzer, or maybe it was the podcast, I can't recall. And he said, why did I not mention the Comcast installation that she has? And he's right. I didn't even know it was there. I mean, I knew, I think, when it came out. It's the second Comcast building installed because we have a wonderful Percent for Art program here that's required if you're building a building. And so there is art in the second Comcast building, as there is in the first Comcast building. I remember and have seen the art in the first Comcast building. It's Joel Shapiro, I believe, sculpture. In the second Comcast building, there is a ceiling installation of Jenny Holzer, a scroll, a word crawl. It doesn't change colors. I haven't seen it. I've seen pictures. If you go to their website, you can get a glimpse of what it looks like. Anyway, thank you, David Richman, for pointing that out. And he had a wonderful quote about it. He said, it's pretty cool if hard on your neck. In other words, you have to stare straight up to read it. I guess no couch is provided. So thank you for that comment. And we're going to run right over and take a look, since we'll be hanging out at Moore College of Art and Design a lot coming up. We're going to run over and take a look at the Jenny Holzer in the ceiling. The second person that wrote in was Stephen Clymer. And he wrote about art and music, because at some point we talked about art and music. And I think I mentioned Nancy Herman as an artist whose interview I'm working on right now. And she wants to make art that is music. That is her goal. Stephen Clymer commented that he has synesthesia and he's autistic. He sees colors and images when he makes music. And he smells certain fragrances and sees colors and abstract images. So I paint, he says, quote, I paint what I see in my brain or compose electronic music based on the arrangement of colors I see. Visual harmony, exclamation mark, actually four exclamation marks. Stephen is the November artist in residence at Da Vinci Art Alliance. And his exhibition is Synesthesia, Painting, and Music. And he invites you all to come by and take a look and listen. And it should be very cool. Anyway, that's reader commentary. Always welcome here. Feedback is always welcome. Libby and I started Art Blog. That was our motto, where feedback is welcome. Finally, I want to say several things about money flowing into the arts and culture community. The SACS Program for Arts Innovation at Penn and the Paul Robeson House and Museum have issued $40,000 of grants to West Philadelphia artists. So congratulations to all of you who received the awards, including, I want to shout out Gabrielle Patterson, who I know because Gabrielle was a student at Penn and she was a student in our Art and Social Responsibility Project up at the Village of Arts and Humanities in 2015. So congratulations to all of you and shout out to all of you. And secondly, as we speak, Ryan, the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage just announced their 2024 recipients of their grants. So time to shout out. It's $10 million worth of new money coming into the arts. The big people, the big recipients are the Barnes, Mural Arts, PAFA, no surprises there, Opera Phila, MOAR. Any idea what that is? Museum of?
MOAR is Museum of the American Revolution.
Ah, okay. Yes, that makes sense. And then the Pew Fellowships, which are now up to $85,000 a year. Good for you. Should be up to $100,000. 12 artists will receive those Pew Fellowships. We'll put the names in the post. And then they have money to the 250th anniversary semi-quincentennial projects.
Yes.
So congratulations, everybody. I'm really happy. I know you are too, Ryan. We're very happy to see money coming into the Philly arts community. So congrats, everybody. And that's it. That's my list.
Thank you for the news, for the happenings and going on. Fringe is still continuing. So I want to shout out a Fringe show that I'm curious to see. Obviously, Fringe and Cannibal are about a lot of performance pieces. And this is a dance piece that I want to shout out. It's Hacia la Luz, Towards the Light. This is running at the Rittenhouse Filmworks. Their shows are going to be September 27th, 8th, and 9th. That is 219 West Rittenhouse Street. And that looks like a really interesting show worth seeing. Philly Story Fest is coming up on the September 25th and 26th. This is at Bach. And it is a two-day event, but they're going. It's the same program on two different days. And Philly Story Fest is journalists and locals. It's full of storytelling and arts and entertainment. You know, looks to be a lot of fun there. So take a look at that. Doors open at 7, shows at 8. And then my theater pick, and I'll keep it to 3, Arden Theater Company, POTUS Orr, Behind Every Great Dumbass, Are 7 Women Trying to Keep Him Alive. That sounds like a great show and a little too true. That runs through October 13th. This is a comedy show at Arden Theater, very much worth seeing. Take a look at that as well. Again, POTUS Orr, Behind Every Great Dumbass, Are 7 Women Trying to Keep Him Alive at Arden. And those are my 3 big picks of the week that I think are going to be a lot of fun, worth seeing. And I think I mentioned, I guess at the beginning, Jean Gerbeau's The Rose Garden is on, and it's on through the end of the month. It's the 29th. So it ends September 29th. So if you want to see that, time is coming close. So make sure you see that.
I love that the POTUS Orr thing at the Arden. And I want to say that's sort of unusual for Philly theater, isn't it? To get so very, very political. I mean, it couldn't be more topical, right?
I think you could put that in any time. Quite frankly, I mean, the history of the women behind the power or whatever, behind the crown or however you want to think of it, it long exists. We just never talked about it. So putting it on stage, I think it's going to be comedic. It's not even going to be serious because at some point you have to realize just how comical it is. So, you know, even in modern recent memory, Hillary Rodham Clinton wasn't president, but she was kind of president in the 90s. So because Bill seemed to be busy with the interns.
Oh, bada boom.
Thank you. You know, it's true. It's just kind of the way it was. It was unspoken, and she clearly had, she wasn't vice president, but she might as well have been president. So
Co-president.
Yes. She was definitely directing a significant amount. So I think there's a lot of women who have had major impact that we don't talk about. There was a book that I was hearing about just recently, Woodrow Wilson's second wife and her impact on his life and thus the presidency and thus the country. And it's just a name you don't know and or may not know. And the impact they had is substantial, I imagine.
Well, I think she actually took over. There was some, wasn't there speculation or maybe it's factual that he was not functioning and she actually took over the duties.
Yeah.
Well, and they were, it was during the war. So right. There was nothing they could do really.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Like he went to Paris and was talking about the peace plan, what they wanted to do to end the war. And then he got sick and they didn't want to admit he got sick. You know, it's probably Spanish flu and he was never the same again.
Wow.
And Yeah, I mean, it's a huge part of that World War One story is mm-hmm. the Spanish flu. So if he got that peace changed and his that sickness led, it's really interesting, but you can connect the dots into the next war because of his sickness. It's really interesting. It's fascinating. Just the small little things connect to make a massive change. So anyway, yeah, I haven't read the book, but I think it was just, I was just hearing about it. I'll have to look up the title.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so no, I don't think it's too political. I think it'd be political if they want, it's always hard. I think comedy is a great way to address political things. Conversations that are hard. The medicine's easier to take when there's laughter surrounding it.
Well, I was not criticizing it. I was just saying, wasn't it unusual that yeah. there was something so overtly political in
yeah,
the
no,
theater?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think there's been a lot of political. It depends on your perspective. I think if we just think about American politics, maybe. But there's a lot of politics that I see on a regular basis that comes in. Thinking about this year, we saw, or maybe it was last year, I saw The Kiss. That was an amazing and political show that really, really struck and was a powerful show. Leaving Kabul, another one. So it depends on your politics, but there's a lot of politics that happens in theater. I think that's a great way to express it. And it personalizes it too, because I think so much of politics is just slogans and easy phrases and make America great. It's too simple. It's too simplification, too much of a simplification of what people, the embodied experience is. So I think comedy is a great way to make a point and stick it to the man, or literally in this case.
Yeah, for sure. No, The Daily Show. I know many people, a lot of millennials, including my children, say, I get my news from The Daily Show, right? And The Daily yeah. Show is comedy. But it's also news and with a point of view. And it's a great way to get your news.
Speaking of news, I think we should have, speaking of unsung heroes and women who do amazing jobs in this country, I think about, we should have like an art blog t-shirt that is the current Solicitor General, Elizabeth Prelogger. I think that'd be great because no one would recognize her face, but she's, I mean, if you ever see her argue or listen to her argue before the Supreme Court, she's just powerful. So speaking of unsung women that we don't talk about.
All right. But, yeah. I am not familiar. Okay.
Yeah. Solicitor General. She's an interesting character because I don't know too much of her bio, but I believe she got a master's in like creative writing. And
wow.
Then, and then did some traveling and I guess life searching out, and then went back to Harvard Law and now a Solicitor General. So
love it. Love the backstory. Too. That's great. Well, yeah. We'll put all the information, put a link to her in the transcript. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could find a picture of her and a flag.
Yes. Yes. No doubt. Her official picture will have a flag.
Of course. Yes. Maybe a USA pen or something.
Mm. That's about it for me. So I think we should sign off before we have listener fatigue here, Ryan.
Sounds good.
Thank you, everybody. This is Roberta signing off, saying see you next time. Thanks for listening.
And this is Ryan, and this has been the Midweek News on Art Blog Radio. Thanks for listening.
Bye.